What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Got actually a good amount of things to talk about. Yeah, we got blown out again, but maybe there's some
positives. Again, but
maybe there's some positives to take out of this.
Dominated by the AFC North.
Ooh, 0-4.
Every game. Don't
put that up to me.
Not loss. Got dominated. Every game.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dominated.
Even the Browns. Oh my God, we're going to talk
Browns,
about it.
Even the Browns pull that belt out.
Woo. Shout out the sponsors, obviously SeatGeek. Miami is hosting Tampa Bay this upcoming weekend. If you want to go check the game out, or if you want to get someone tickets to the game as a Christmas gift, use the promo code FINS10. You get 10% off your first set of tickets, as well as Sleeper. Now, Sleeper, we will talk more about Friday. We will give you the more or less with Sleeper. If you took the more with Quinn Ewers, which I think it was around like 100 and something passing, or 160 or something, won that one. And if you took the more with a one and a half passing touchdown from Joe Burrow, you took that one as well. Check them out. You get 100% up to $100 using the promo code HMA. As well as you can see, we have all podcast formats. Go check us out. And if you want to become a member, hit the join button next to the subscribe button. We have updated the ending to add more of the members in there. Shout out to our producer and our graphics guy for doing that. And you get a ton of other cool perks. Poopart will be joining us. They had a late presser for, what was it, assistant coaches?
Assistant coaches, yes.
So he's on his way home now. Don't speed, Alan.
He's ready. He texts you, Doug.
Okay.
For the link.
Yeah. I'll send it to him.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to get jumped on here, you know.
Hey, it's over, man. There's not much more you can talk about that. Well, maybe a little bit, but that's for a different video. So we'll get into it. We'll start with the first topic. How deep is Dolphins rebuild? And TD actually kind of addressed that on his channel, if you haven't gone over and checked that out, with the potential of trading assets. Let me pop him in. Alan.
There he is.
A ton of other interesting stuff. So I want to start with TD, and I want to get your take on how deep do you think the rebuild's going to be?
How deep it's going to be. Again, like Omar said last week, we have no idea until we know who the general manager is going to be, how deep it's going to be, what approach they want to take when they start asking questions and getting their football philosophy and how they want to do it. But if it was up to me, it's going deep. It's going really deep. I mean, everything must go. Mm. The only thing I'm keeping in the building is this tight end room. Aaron Brewer.
People in the janitors do to you.
What happened?
What the cafeteria?
Oh, no. Let me be clear. Not the building. I'm talking about the roster, not the building. You know, the staff. Hey, we might need to evaluate the staff too, but we'll see. But anyway, I'm keeping the tight end room. I'm investing in Brewer. I'm extending him, one of the best centers in the league who got literally snubbed today. And Patrick Paul is going to be my future. I'm really just going after guys who are 5 years or less. That's not going to cost me big money within the next 2 years. And everything else must go. But when you sit back, Doug, and you look at it, we have more assets than people think that are tradable. Jalen Waddle, Zach Sealer. You have Devin Achan, Brooks. Minka Fitzpatrick. See, Omar got me going. It's more. It's a few more. It's like two more. But we have assets that's tradable. Mm. And if you trade all six, seven, or eight of the assets,
you're not going to get market value.
You may not get market value, but the cumulative amount of all of that is respectable to start your rebuild.
I mean, everybody was on the trade market at the trade deadline. They set a price for him, yep, and teams did not meet the price. Example, Devon Achane. I'm not letting him go for nothing but a second round pick,
or better.
And on top of that, that was before he was a Pro Bowler. He's not a first round pick. Come on,
run but didn't it. His stock rise in the last since the deadline?
Yeah. But he's not going to be a first round pick.
Yeah, maybe like instead of just a second, maybe a second and a fourth.
Who outside of the Dolphins is trading a first round pick to a team needing a running back that needs a new contract?
Chiefs.
Mm-mm.
They need it bad.
Not their history.
Stop playing Madden. The same Madden.
It can be. You know what? I love when people say that.
Hey, yes.
It's not Madden, but it can be. It can be. We are like it can.
This generation of coaches grew up playing Madden, so that's how they operate the NFL.
Yeah, let me see. Waddle's a top three receiver, so you can get a first-round pick plus. Aaron Brewer's got snubbed, even though is it possible that maybe all those highlights of him blocking downfield kind of maybe shined a light on him disproportionate to his body of work, even though he has had a good season, but can we like not compare him to Dwight Stevenson just yet? Maybe. But sure. Let's trade him. We could probably get a first round.
No, I don't want to trade Brewer.
No. I mean, and we live
that's
in
the only player he didn't list.
Say what?
I said that Brewer was the only player he didn't list.
Patrick Paul in the tight end room.
Okay. Patrick Paul gets to stay
in the young defensive tackles.
You can't blow. It's cool. You're going to blow it all up. You're going to trade everybody.
Really blowing it all up?
Kind of. If you trade, you're looking to trade Achane. I know you want to trade Sealer. You want to trade Waddle. Mm-hmm. You want to trade who else? You want to trade?
Yeah, you will see
Brooks.
Well, I'll just say this. I'll say this, Alan, and I'll be done with it. I just think that the Dolphins have a history, and it's failed every single time. By the way, before I say it, we have a history of not projecting for the long term. We love keeping our Pro Bowlers while we're not competitive and that's allowing true. Them to play their best.
Nobody
season.
Goes.
What did they do in 2019?
Hold on. And allow them to play their best seasons while we're in a rebuild. And then when we're finally out of the rebuild, ready to compete, then we actually move on from them instead of getting value for them earlier.
What did they do in 2019?
In 2019, we blew it all up, in which we need to do it again.
How did that work out?
No. That's unfair. Let's put this on the record. 2019 was the right move. And 2022 is where you messed up the process of that continuing to go in the draft. You screwed it up by stopping investing in the draft and trading all your assets for players.
You were pivoting.
You pivoted.
You had a pivot.
You messed it up because you didn't maximize all your picks.
No. No matter. Yeah,
but you still have to stay the course. That's where Miami went off the train. They tried to buy it, and look where that got us. They should have kept drafting players.
If we are evaluating where they went wrong,
mm-hmm.
to me, the starting point, well, we begin with talent evaluation.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But they also had this mindset that they could pay everybody that they drafted, which you couldn't. You couldn't because literally half, one third of your draft picks busted, and you couldn't even pay the ones that you kept that were successful.
That's false. You could pay them if you didn't trade away and pay the big bucks to the people you traded away. It was a double whammy. You didn't only give up draft picks for Tyreek. You also gave up $30 million a year. You didn't just give up draft picks for Ramsey. You also gave up 20 whatever a year. Yeah. It's a double whammy. All I'm saying, Omar, think about the process of we didn't trade for anybody. We kept all our draft capital, even if they were still missing on the draft capital. Some of them were still hits. No, you're missing it, though. Some of them were still hits.
You could afford
Christian Wilkins. You could afford even the high-priced Robert Hunt. You could afford everybody.
Oh, Pulpard, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Alan.
Damn, that's a TD monologue over here. TD, the problem is they didn't want to stay the course because they didn't nail their draft picks in 2020 and 2021, starting with, I'm going to say it, 2 over Herbert, number one. Number two, mm-hmm. 6th overall pick in 2021. You make the trade from 3 to 12, pick up 2 extra first-round picks. Great move. You stay there, you could have had Michael Parsons wound up going 12. 13 was Rashawn Slater. No, you move back up to 6 and surrender one of those two extra first round picks.
You could have just stayed at three and got the best receiver in the NFL, Jamar Chase.
But
for 5 years later, you'd look like a genius.
But is he worth first round pick?
You got to look at who's throwing him the ball.
Do I have my time here? Do I have my time? Give me my time here. But even it was good roster building to accumulate more first round picks, but you move up to six to take Jalen Waddle, who's not a sixth overall pick, with all due respect, especially when you pass on Penei Sewell. Okay. Yeah. So, and then the Dolphins, what they did is they look maybe in 2022 when they're surviving, the whole thing blows up with Brian Flores. They look at their roster is, it's a nice roster, but I don't know. We're not competing for championship with that. And that's when they went off the rails. Tyreek, Jalen Ramsey, Bradley Chubb.
So let me ask you this, Alan. Would the Dolphins be in a better situation today if we never trade? Like, think about it. If we would have saved our 10, 11, 12 draft pick. No, hear me out. If we would have saved our 10-plus draft picks and only hit at a bad 30% of them, we would have still been able to afford Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt, and a lot of those guys that we had to get rid of, plus the current roster and younger guys, those other three or four guys that we drafted. We would have been in a better position today because we would have been younger and cheaper. The money would have went, instead of Tyreek, it would have went to Christian Wilkins. Instead of Ramsey, it would have went to Robert Hunt. We had the money to pay these guys. We didn't have the money when we went in free agency.
But the problem is,
you don't know that.
The problem is you're
Christian
trusting
Wilkins don't make you any more wins. Robert Hunt doesn't give you any more wins. Andrew Van Ginkle doesn't give you any more wins. Like you need impact players.
Tell me what edge player on this roster better than Andrew Van Ginkle right now.
Oh damn. I don't have one.
Okay, you got a good point there for a change, TD, but
tell me what guard on this roster better than Robert Hunt.
It's not necessary. I'm not paying the guard $100 million.
Yeah, but you can pay Tyreek.
I'm not paying Christian Wilkins $24 million.
But you paid Tyreek that. You gave Ramsey the money. All I'm saying is swap those guys out.
They paid four stars, playmakers, game changers, difference makers when they thought they were ready to pivot. And then their team got hurt at the end of the year. Yes, he couldn't beat anybody major. We're not having a Tua discussion today because Tua is dead and gone. Mm-hmm. That discussion is expired.
Well, not yet.
It is. We can discuss it in the offseason when we're trying to figure out what to do with his money and move him. The remaining two games, we have no need to talk about Tua because they have no desire to play him. Mm-mm. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, they missed on a lot of things. But the structure of them building, hell, you're right. I remember I did a story last year, and it was the most stunning thing I'd ever discovered about this team. And it really began my Chris Greer has to go campaign, which I wrote about every Sunday, trying to make an argument to Steve Ross. Like, here, Steve Ross, here's a body of evidence of why your team is bad. I think they had hit on the rest of the league. Had hit on like 42% of their draft picks.
Mm.
The good teams had hit on like 54% of their draft picks. The Dolphins were at like 34.
The bottom end, yes. Mm-hmm. That's where we
and you're like, you're wondering, why are they such a bad team? Because they miss on their draft picks. And then what they do is they add injured and old veterans to fill the spots of the guys that they missed. And then when those injured and old veterans fall apart in December, they're like, hey, we don't know what happened. You know, and young cheap labor. Okay, Devon Achane's young cheap labor. Patrick Paul is young cheap labor in terms of guys playing good. These defensive tackles, they have pivoted now where they're like, invest. What?
We're down. Let's wait and see.
We don't have a bust as a rook. We don't have Jason Marshall Jr.'s but we know that some they were busts early, but we know these three defensive linemen can play.
Mm.
Like they can play. They are. Right.
We don't know what their ceiling is right now.
I didn't say we know what their ceiling is.
It is a good start, especially where they
were. Channing Tindall. We knew he couldn't play 4 years in.
Where is he?
Like, huh?
I'll look that up.
Arizona.
He's in Arizona. We knew the cornerback, Cam Smith. We thought he could play, but then he got an opportunity. We knew he couldn't play. These guys, Jason Marshall Jr., I probably will not put in the can play category, but the rest of them, it's like, okay, they belong in the NFL. Whether they're here or not, they'll be in the NFL. But
you need more. You need guys to be impact players as opposed to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they traded for impact players, which is what he's upset about.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing, and like, you know, we all can agree on the fact the man doesn't have a job, Chris Greer. You know, he didn't hit on draft picks, and then like TD was talking about, overcompensated by getting other players, and then didn't want them to be upset, so he overpaid for them, restructured contracts when he shouldn't have done it. It was like this whole big hodgepodge of a mess, and then tried to pull a Rams in 2023, got close, everyone got hurt, and then it all fell apart. But Alan, I want to get your thoughts on, how deep do you think this rebuild is going to go? Do you think it's going to be a teardown, or do you think they're just going to be kind of surface level rebuild?
Certainly not the TD level. That's for
sure. No, I don't think.
I'm keeping the cafeteria staff. I'm keeping the. I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
The janitor is not. Come on now. That building is spotless. I
am also not convinced yet that. I think it's still, to me, still a little more likely than not that Mike McDaniel returns in 2026. Although certainly didn't help his cause with that game against the Bengals on Sunday.
Do you want him back, Alan?
Do I want him back? No.
Okay.
No.
But hold on here, Alan. I hoped you had moved off that position. I really did. I really had hoped you had moved off that position. What happens when we get blown out the rest of the two games?
Then I think we're having because right now I have it about, I don't know, 60-65% he returns. If they get blown out the next two games, then I'm bringing it down. My thought is 20%.
So it shifted a little bit after.
I had him about 75% coming back before the game against Cincinnati.
I think we are entering the Adam Gase 2015 danger zone.
18. That was last year. You're talking about last year?
2018 danger zone, where I've heard some things after the game that made me realize this team is completely conflicted in terms what they need to do, where they need to go, what they're trying to do. Are they trying to tank? Which quarterback should be in the game? Which quarterback should not be in the game? It's the dysfunction has arrived.
It's called
pain. This is dysfunction that Mike injected into the team. And so now that you have been blown out by a mediocre team and people are looking at it like, everybody needs to find their motivation. And if it's not personal pride, what is it? It's survival. Survival is off the plate right now because I don't think they care about Mike's survival because they feel like Mike did something flaw. Not to say that it wasn't justified, but some people feel like Mike did something flaw. And if he could do it to Tua, he could do it to me.
Unless he was told to do it.
Don't matter.
It does matter, actually, in terms of how they view Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Doug, is obviously the severity of the rebuild is going to depend on whether McDaniel's back. If McDaniel's back, they're not blowing it up. If they make a coaching change, I know, Omar, you hate this, but I'm just – please tell me where I'm wrong. If they make a coaching change, then I could see – them listening to offers for all their guys, the major guys. Obviously, Tyreek Hill's not getting re-signed. Bradley Chubb is not getting re-signed. Tua's going to move on. I don't think it's going to be a fire sell like TD is suggesting. Maybe they listen to one or two guys. Devon Achane, I don't think is going anywhere. even with this problematic contract situation, as Omar pointed out before, you know, he's got 1 year left on his contract and you can franchise tag him. So I don't think it's a mid-level rebuild job if McDaniel is gone. It's tinkering if McDaniel returns.
Do y'all realize one thing? The reason why the nuclear, like, sell everybody approach, the reason why I'm so heavy on it, there's one element that we're not discussing. Every single person I named has no guarantees. Mm. And are the Dolphins going to commit to them further? Because they're pretty much going to be asking for a trade.
I'm pretty sure Sealer has guarantees, and I'm pretty
sure. Well, he's the only one. He's the only one.
Waddle might be.
Waddle a little bit, last, I think.
Waddle
might be his last year guarantee.
There were four players who had guarantees. As I recall, it was Tua, I think Sealer, and the rookies. Too,
but the other guys that I'm talking about, those guys don't have guarantees coming off of a good year, has value. Agent's going to want them to get their bag now.
Okay. Answer me this question, TD. When does the fire sale wholesale change work? What team?
Thank you.
That's, to me, an unfair question in this sense. Give me the example where they did it the right way after doing it. In other words, like Miami, I truly feel like they should have continued through the draft. It would have been a slower process getting up, but you would have been moving in the right direction. Even with our bad drafting, we were still moving in the right direction with talent. We would still find some, just a small percentage, taking us longer. So
Houston did what you're referring to, but they hit on their quarterback. Which understand is
well, we gotta be optimistic on that piece of it.
One day,
depends who the new GM is.
It's only been 25 years, so that one day, you know,
with the new regime coming in, do we give them the bad credit score or do we start them fresh with the way we think about it?
Who?
If we get a new GM and a new coach, do we give them the bad credit score? Because all of our thoughts are because of what we've done in the past.
We gave it to Mike McDaniel. He's responsible for
That's different.
21 of the 25 years.
But that's different. He came in applying for the bad credit score. Whoever's
coming in is applying for the bad credit score too.
But they get a fresh start though. They got loan forgiveness.
Only Mike, if we didn't bring up the 25 years, and then we just magically, like, I know where you took us to the playoffs the last 2 years, but here, your franchise has sucked 25
years. I get it. But if you want somebody to come and try to do it right, you got to give them the clean perspective. We can't hold them against the bad decisions of the past. I'm just saying, we don't know what'll work in Miami because we failed at everything.
No, we have not failed at everything. We have not failed at a scorched earth restart.
2019 was a scorched earth restart.
Yeah.
Nope. Your GM was
still. Dude, they stripped that roster and
your executive, Mike Tannenbaum, is still here.
Scorched earth is in like everyone's gone.
That was Greer's first year as clear GM 2019.
Yeah, everyone gone. Yeah, because that was
Greer's first year as clear GM, but who's on top? Who's top football decision maker?
Wasn't Tannenbaum was gone in 2019.
Oh, 2019. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, we did it in 2019 where we broke it all down brand new.
That was everything. Scorched earth. I mean, if you remember the roster, the roster. And then traded.
Who's to say it wouldn't work if we do that path? Because now we realize it was really we screwed up from the beginning with the selection of the quarterback.
Yeah, wrong.
And you had a mid, with all due respect to Austin Jackson, that's a mid 18th overall pick, and you had a bust with the third first round pick.
It's funny, round pick
they didn't even hear it.
The question that us Dolphin fans always get asked, or, you know, us YouTubers or whatever, is if you could go back, would you take Herbert? My answer is always no. I would take Tristan Wirfs. I would take Justin Jefferson, and then I would take either Jordan Love or Jalen Hurts.
Those are my first two picks, Justin Jefferson and Jonathan Taylor.
Man, I would have gave all them players away for Justin Herbert.
You are in too much love for a man who's never won a playoff.
Do you see what Justin Herbert doing this year?
I'm not even a Justin Herbert fan, but I think we should have learned from history, which means size and arm matter.
And he's mobile now.
And the arm queen here was right.
somebody record that, please.
Size, because there was nothing wrong with Tua except for he was small, damaged, yep. And the arm was eh. And then look where we are now. Look at where we are in 6 years. Everything that was our issue continues to be our issue.
That's somebody
He's mobile this year. Almost 500 rushing yards.
So if you guys had to choose, let me ask you, because I'm getting flamed in the comment section. If you guys had to choose between Herbert, Love, and Jalen Hurts, you're all taking Herbert?
Hurts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Even though he struggled in the playoffs and
proven
the other two haven't.
He had a game where he struggled.
Both games he struggled.
Okay. I've seen him go toe-to-toe in the regular season in big games against big competition.
They scored 27 points in the first game, and if you're going to tell me he blew a 27-0 lead, watch the game. Seriously, it was defensive collapse all over the place. And then last year, he didn't play a good game. He also had Houston players draped all over him the entire day.
Herbert Neer coming out with the excuses.
Hey, the offense needed
to score in the second half. Kick a field goal. Go.
They missed a field goal. Do you are aware of that? They missed a field goal.
But how many opportunities did the offense have that ended up being nothing?
Doug, I ain't out. That was a failure for him. That was a failure for him. You would like to see him have done more, but all I'm saying is he got the tools. So when you have the tools. Yeah. It's worth the growing pains.
Yeah.
When you don't have all the tools and you're struggling like that, what are we doing?
Yeah, no, 100%.
If you could put Jordan Love in Brian Flores' hands, there's no guarantee he wouldn't be broken. I feel the same way with Jalen Hurts. You could say the same thing about Justin Herbert, but the next coach is going to look at them tools and be like, I could work with that.
So, and don't get me wrong, Justin Herbert is – a ridiculous quarterback with a ridiculous arm strength and physicality and all that stuff. My thought process is I'm building the trenches, and that's why I'm going Tristan Wirfs at 5, not Justin Herbert.
But you could always build the trenches.
Look at what Herbert's doing in that with draft, his trenches.
The way the draft fell, I knew if the Dolphins didn't take an offensive lineman at 5, there wasn't going to be one at 18, and we took Austin Jackson.
You are correct, and that was Brian Flores' thought process. But exactly. Absolutely no guarantee that he was going to end up with Jordan Love.
That is true.
Do y'all see what Herbert's doing with his current trenches? 28th in the NFL in supporting cast, 31st in protection.
But
he has been sacked the most in the NFL.
He's playing with like a broken hand or something like that.
Playing with a broken hand. More sack, he makes NFL history. First player with 50 plus hits or something like something. And to win over 10 games or something like that. He already got 11.
If you ask any Chargers fan why the Chargers haven't been successful with Justin Herbert, coaching, weapons, offensive line. That's what they always say.
Defense, too, the first few years.
Defense.
They had the worst defenses in the league those first few years.
Right here would always point out the worst team.
If you remember the 2023 season opener against the Dolphins, lit up that secondary. I mean, like a Christmas
tree. But again, I'm more of a trenches guy. So again, I see what Justin Herbert could do, but I also now hindsight see what Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts can do. Get him Justin Jefferson. But we're getting off track.
Build the trenches, Doug. I could find you a new Patrick Paul coming out in this draft. Maybe three of them. Find me another Justin Herbert coming out in this draft. And I'm not even a Justin Herbert fan.
But I get what Doug's saying.
That's hard to find.
I don't know.
We failed so much in the trenches, though. So it's like it's so scarce for Miami. Like it's like that's like your priority.
I mean, hold on. Wait a minute. Let's not be disrespectful to this unit. They were trash in the beginning of the season. Now they're carrying this team right now. And there ain't no names on it except for Patrick Paul and an undersized center who's having his best season of his NFL career. And if I told you what he looked like after Sunday's game, you would be terrified because he could barely walk.
No, he's got body parts all over the place on the injury report.
He could barely walk. And it was like they need to carry him out with an ambulance. I give him props for what he has done, because in that game, if he felt like that and played like that, Jesus Lord. But
you got to pay him this offseason then.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Then what you going to do?
You stop paying people.
No. I actually agree with you. That's why I agree with you. The problem is.
And this guy knows I'm a pay the player advocate.
Oh, you are you're a player agent. Forget advocate. You're a player agent.
But you got, I'm sorry. Steve Ross got to stop writing these blank checks.
James Daniels.
No. That's not fair. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not fair. And you know why that's not fair? Because they could have easily paid $24 million for a better guard than James Daniels, and he suffered the same injury three snaps into the season.
And it's a different injury than he had last year, so that's...
Yeah. It's, you know, and I watched the guy try to come back. He couldn't. And it used to be back in the day. Used to be back in the day. You tore your pec, done. Season done.
I'm
now
sorry.
Now they're trying to come back from it.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't a torn pec. Mike McDaniel said when they put him on IR, it was a tough call because we're looking at a timetable that would fall close to where it would be when he was put on IR. Do you remember that comment?
Yeah, but I thought he was being disingenuous. But go ahead.
You're going to tell me he knew he had a torn pec and then he said he didn't?
So what is it then? It's a pectoral injury. It's either – it's got to be torn. If it's taken all season, it's got to be torn. Mm-hmm. So it was strained. The other dude, Darren Waller, he's playing with a strained pec, and he practices once a week. The difference is James Daniel goes like this all game. He can't do that with a strained or torn pec.
Now, if it's torn, he'd have been done for the year, and then McDaniel would have said that. And with Darren Waller, when he came back, he stopped being on the injury report with a pec. Now it's always rest, and then sometimes they add knee to it. Pec's not even an issue anymore. So
I know that it's a different injury, but I'm sorry. I said this before the season even started. You go get a player fresh off of injury that's 30, 31 years old. You don't know what's next on his body. You're taking a high risk regardless. Just his age alone in this league.
Somebody has a recording of that. You saying that on the record.
Yeah, and what was your alternative?
Trying to find a player that's not fresh off of an injury. It's just that simple. That's why when it happened, I was like
18 million dollars a year more.
There weren't exactly a whole lot of guards on the market, if you recall.
I get it. We had no answer to the Robert Hunt debacle. That's my whole point. This goes back to the original.
Escalated to $20 million.
Jesus. Yep.
Shouldn't have traded for everybody. You'd have had the money to do it.
Okay. Hold on. Time out. I'm about to do this. Hold on. Okay. Quentin Nelson, is he not like the most awesome guard in the NFL? Yeah. What's the Colts' recent playoff history? Zach Martin, Dallas Cowboys, was he not like an all-world guard? How the far have the Cowboys gone in the past? Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying it's the one player, Alan. I'm just saying
I'm singling out guards. You do not pay guards that kind of money for that specific reasons. They do not impact the game enough. You can get a
whole strange.
You can get a guard that's not like an A++ guard, and you can still have a good offensive line.
You're still making my point. Even if it's not Robert Hunt, it shouldn't have been James Daniel. That's all I'm saying, Fred. Even $8 million.
You're playing the results right now.
No, you're playing the results.
I'm playing the results. I'm playing the odds. A 31-year-old coming fresh off of an injury?
And in
a violent position?
And that's why he's affordable. That's
somebody needs to dig up TD's comments on James Daniels before he got hurt. because I want to.
This is the whole point, Alan. That's why I'm making this point. This was my sentiment. I said it preseason. Why you go get a guy that's injury 31 years old? Everybody knows.
Then what you wanted to do? Draft two Jonas Seven Eyes?
Guess what? Is that what you want? Come on, man. Guess what? Our right guard playing just fine right now.
Football gods. You got him off the waiver wire. You got him off a practice squad. My bad.
No, Chris Greer failed. I get it, but this is all on him. You have to be able to go find talent for the Chief.
I mean,
the general manager.
We know that, but
then you're going to complain if they don't sign any big name players in free agency.
I'm not that guy, Alan. I'm not the big name free agent guy. I'm the build through the draft, homegrown. That's who I am.
Well, we know they stuck at the draft. So what else?
They did draft a guard. They drafted Jonah.
I get it.
You drafted the worst guard in the NFL. Wow.
I get it, but that's our general manager failing. Our general manager.
am I telling a lie, Doug? What's his pro Football Focus rating this week?
I don't know,
man. Is he up to past bottom five?
It might be second.
I don't know. I'm giving him 3 years, all right?
Listen, sometimes you just know.
He was so good coming out, man.
Nah, he wasn't.
I was a Jonah guy.
I know. He was safe. Anyway,
he was going to be amazing.
I want to talk about Quinn Ewers before we get to donations, and I want to get everyone's thoughts on how he played. I think he played well. I think some of the throws he made, my favorite throw was the one to people don't lump me in with this man anymore.
you thought he played well?
I think he played well. I don't think he played great. I don't think he, you know, I think he played well. I think
give him a grade.
B-.
B.
I don't think those two interceptions were his fault, really. If I'm gonna be honest with you, I think they both should have been defensive pass interference. The defenders were there way quicker than they should have been. But I liked his throws. He missed some. My favorite throw was the one to Waller. I think it was his like first series, second throw. That was nice, rolling out to his right, and then it was like him and Waller on the same page, and Waller cut up, and like, it was beautiful.
He realized throw it up there.
Other one with the Waddle fumble where he was on the right hash mark and he threw it to the left sideline on a rope, like great throws. So solid. There's something there you could build off of. So I liked it. B-. What do you think, Omar? Judgy Magoo over here.
Judgy Bastard. I would give it a D+ because it was not a performance that
D+ he's giving it.
How was he at executing on third downs? How was he at executing in the red zone? Not to say that the past quarterback was doing well, but
we're not talking about Tua.
I didn't say his name.
Keep that man's name out of your damn mouth.
What I am saying is what I liked about Quinn Ewers is he can make all the throws. Somebody said something to me that I thought was really interesting. Tua's arm was limiting Mike to the point where he'd look at a play call sheet and he'd go, okay, we need to hurry up, but I can't do that one because he can't throw that. I can't do that one because he can't throw that. I can't do that one because he can't throw that. Like, so it was limiting him. Now he puts a quarterback in the game that there are no limitations to the throws that he can make because defenses weren't even changing up how they played Miami. They didn't defend outside and they didn't pass 40 yards because Tua couldn't throw 40 yards. So they just sit there and the second safeties would just sit there and wait at 40. Like it was, and the cornerbacks didn't need to press because Lord knows Tua is going to – why would you turn your back to Tua when the ball is going to take forever to get there anyway? This is how –
You're still talking about him.
Okay, my bad. You are. but my point is Quinn opens up the arm to throw more and make bolder throws. However, there is a faction of that team that believes Zach got screwed.
Mm.
And – believe that yes, the change. There's a faction. There is three different factions of the team. There's a faction of the team that's like, Tua should still be our starter. Yes, his arm sucks, but he still gives us our best chance to win games. There's a faction of the team where, all right, Quinn, he's young, he's got the best arm, he's probably got the best upside, but he don't know what he don't know, but let's ride with it. And then there's a faction of the team like, Zach has outperformed Tua in practice. I mean, has outperformed Quinn in practice, has got the game experience, and should be the starter, but we know it's political. There's no winning in this situation for the Dolphins.
And, is it political or just common sense that Wilson more than likely is not on the roster next year, whereas you just spent the 7th round pick on him? Let's see what he's got.
I'd say the second.
Yeah. I mean, but you're saying that we're putting the player in a position that gives us the best chance to win games. That's where
tell me a universe where an NFL coach would say, yeah, you know, we were out of the playoffs anyway, so what we want to do is evaluate our guy right here, even though Zach Wilson really deserves to start.
Right? I think when you were never honest, the best chance to win right now.
They're never honest.
I think Quinn gives you their best chance to win because I don't think
Zach. I don't think Zach Wilson is better than Quinn Ewers.
I don't think so either.
Me neither.
And that could be why. And Tua with his arm shot, I think McDaniel. This is why I think McDaniel really meant it, because he didn't just double but triple down when he said, "When I say whoever gives us the best chance to win, I mean that. I don't like." He said something about I don't gamble with players' futures. When I say that, I mean that. So I got to take him on his word, but there is logical reason to think so. Zach Wilson, I thought yours were creeping up on him in training camp. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't feel like he's better. And Tua's arm sold on him, so in mobility, so he might actually truly believe this is the best chance to win.
Alan,
I haven't given my grade yet.
I was just going to ask you.
Man, are you harsh. Jesus. First of all, the interception to Waddle, that to me, that's just a horrible throw. And that's one of those that ball hung in the air quite a bit. And sure, if you get an official who feels like he's feeling flaggy, you might have gotten a DPI. But that's a bad throw. Mm. The other one I put on Wees more than I put on yours.
Hands out there, yeah.
Well, not only that, he kind of curved the route too at the top where if he'd cut it.
Oh, that Quinn Ewers stared him down.
Doesn't change the fact that he rounded off the route instead of cutting it and moving, running diagonally but closer to yours. Anyway, made some throws. There was nothing spectacular about it. But then again, yours is not a spectacular athlete. By the way, Omar, I'm going to disagree with you. Zach Wilson easily has the best arm of any quarterback on this roster. He's the best athlete of any quarterback on this roster. He's the one where he could give you like a wow performance based on the athletic traits, but there's also a great variance where he could throw a stinker big time. I think yours is going to be more in the middle, and I thought he was fine. To me, it's maybe C plus.
I'm D plus. We close. We're neighbors.
Edie, what's your take?
I give him a B plus in this game. First and foremost, we are talking about a 7th round pick. We make sure this ain't the Tua scale nor the Zach Wilson scale. This is a 7th round pick scale. Number two, he was cooking at the beginning of the game. He was cooking. There was a point where McDaniel threw the ball 5 times in a row, and he completed them. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, what do we have here? And I think that his failures in the second half were more to do with Mike McDaniel than him. Putting him in situations where, and y'all answer me this, tell me if I'm wrong. We went four game winning streak where we were running the ball very well. We ran into Pittsburgh and we were in the last 2 games. We haven't run the ball very well. Yeah, A-Chain popped one off, but outside of that run, they had A-Chain bottled up all day. And Mike McDaniel, at some point you got to realize this is a rookie quarterback. They start doing it with Tua. They're selling out on the run. You got to throw the football. It's two to one throwing. McDaniel's still trying to have that balanced approach like Tua's still in the game. And what did you do? First down run, 1 yard. Second down run, 2 yards. Third and seven, Quinn Ewers. You kept giving him one opportunity in that second half to try to make the play. Then when it got out of reach, now you want him to throw the ball. Now it's desperation moment. I don't really count all of that for a rookie quarterback down by two scores late in the game. And that's on McDaniel. You got to know, you got to keep that momentum going. If the kid was cooking early on, why are you stopping it? Put the ball in his hand and let him make passes like he was in the first half. Where did the play action go? Where did all of that action go? He was so good in it early in the game. So for that, I'm not going to come down hard on Quinn Ewers for that second half. In the fourth quarter, it was already over at that point. So all the stuff that happened in, evaluation goes out the window for me.
But they lost the game not because of Ewers. They lost the game because they had four straight turnovers turnovers, including one on downs, and then the defense couldn't stop them.
Yep.
So to me, I don't think the outcome wasn't dependent on Ewers whatsoever.
This was evaluating Ewers. I'm just giving my grade. That's why I have the grade on Ewers.
In my opinion, there's two things that happened and it kind of went back to back on, you know, why, you know, they lost a ton of momentum. One, that third and one play where he decided to have a pitch play in. So instead of, you know, like TD said, they were dedicating to stopping the run. It's third and one and you pitch it. Now it's essentially third and nine. Like, it was just a dumb play call, killed the momentum. We come out in half, we start moving. Dulcich fumbles, and I think that really sucked the air right out of any momentum we had. And then
there was also a pass interference call on a pick.
That's a horrible call.
Dulcich fumble came right out.
That was a terrible call. And by the way, that pick to Waddle, that's Ewers trying to float it up, see if the receiver can go make something happen.
Except Waddle's not a 50-50 receiver. I understand that.
But I will say this.
I don't know if I would say he's not going to be get it.
Are you serious?
He's not a 50-50 guy, but you do have to give him the opportunity to try to be one. But we were down 38-14 at that point.
Yeah.
Like, no, they weren't. No, they weren't.
The interception of Waddle, we were down 38-14.
I'll look it up.
I promise you, we were down 38-14. I evaluated this whole game. At that point, you need to throw something up.
38-14.
Am I mistaken?
You're right. One play. They scored the touchdown 38-14, and then the very first play on the next drive was the interception.
You looked it up?
Yeah.
Waddle. My bad.
The first interception was 24-14.
I got Alan on some information.
And then
take a victory lap.
You had the fumble. We were down 17-14.
He's always slacking around Christmas time.
Interception down 24-14. They score. Turnover on downs, like Alan said, 31-14. They score. And then the interception, 38-14. At that point, it's like, now you're 45-14 and you're just throwing crap at the wall, seeing what could stick there.
And the failed quarterback sneak is a bad break because he slipped on the
pick. I didn't ever see him go down.
Oh no, he slipped on the paint. But although, when you're calling the play, should you not take into consideration the fact that the guys are like on the paint? No.
I agree. That's why I wanted him fired back in week five.
It's paint slippery.
Yes.
Let's get to some donations. Shout out to all the people donating. We appreciate you. We're at 10,200 subs. You guys are amazing. 278 likes. We got almost 1,000 in here. Hit that like button.
Really?
We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Dirk Bill becoming a member. Appreciate you. Ian saying, who would have thought going into the season the Jags would be the best team in Florida? I've tried telling y'all Trevor Lawrence is different this year. Coach and quarterback matter so much. Fire McDaniel.
You're right. I watched them in joint practice, and I thought the Dolphins had a much better roster.
And Trevor Lawrence has been much better the last 4 weeks.
And you know who's kicking ass for them too? Former Dolphin? Who? Anthony Campanelli.
You know what? I wouldn't mind Anthony Campanelli getting an interview for head coach.
Yep.
Was it a consideration at one point for the Dolphins?
For DC, he was a consider. He was DC. He interviewed. Was it all around the world? They speak whoop ass.
Yeah. Michael with the donation said, great insight as always. Why does McDaniel never seem to have an answer for dealing with adjustments opposing teams make at halftime?
Go ahead, your spiel, Doug. Go ahead, your spiel.
They don't really do it at halftime. But on the sideline, they do. My point was in the locker room, they're more eating than they're getting out there. But on the, yeah, he doesn't. He on the fly, and again, that was my biggest factor in why I wanted to move on from him. It's been 4 years, and he's not very good at making adjustments.
Hold on. Okay, that's fair. Never thought about it. Not going to criticize it. I will say this. The defensive players, they were far more bothered by their performance coming out in the half and playing flat. And mentioned warm-ups, and I'm like, and it's true. I don't see nobody getting warmed up before the half.
You should mention that, because I was at the coordinator's media session Tuesday, and I asked Anthony Weaver about the issues in pass coverage where they gave up more than 300 yards for touchdown passes, and he specifically said it wasn't an issue of effort, it was lack of execution.
I don't know. Half of that sound right to me. I don't think it was a lack of effort. I saw those guys out there.
They were hitting hard against.
They just got deep.
Those receivers were just better than that.
That's where you show the difference in talent with this defense versus a real scoring offense.
Also, why was Jason Marshall out there so much?
No Minka.
I understand that.
Yeah, no. Oh, and then, by the way,
you got alternative
going from facing the Bengals, who may have the best 1-2 wide receiver combo in the NFL, to the Buccaneers, who may have the best 1-2-3-4 wide receiver combo in the NFL in a week after Todd Bowles is taking a whole lot of crap for running the ball so much against Carolina. So,
and Baker's taking crap. So
are any of you guys interested in Todd Bowles if he gets fired by Tampa?
No.
I've never been a Todd.
I want a dynamic personality, and Todd Bowles is a supremely nice guy, but
Doug?
Too mellow.
RJ says, Merry Christmas, gentlemen. Merry Christmas to you, RJ. Ian with the Fiver says, rehashing how the Finns failed this rebuild is so depressing. Fire McDaniel, hire GM from outside the organization to run the ship. Yeah. Fresh eyes, man. Fresh eyes.
They got fresh eyes in Champ Kelly. That's why he's in charge.
Ross said last year, status quo won't do.
I wrote a column about that because I read the statement again yesterday, along with writing the column. The statement, what he says that follows that is more damning and important. I think we overlooked that because of the status quo when everybody was just hung up on the status quo.
After
the status quo statement immediately comes, we will take a hard look at where we have fallen short, basically as a franchise, and make the necessary changes to deliver our ultimate goal of building and sustaining a winning team that competes for championships. Now, outside of the status quo statement, which I think everybody was obsessed about because it created a baseline, what have they done within a year that makes you look like, that makes it look or think that they've like evaluated their whole program and are going to do anything different?
Okay, quick question here. If they go 7-10 or 6-11 after going 8-9, that's not status quo though, is it?
It's worse. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's below.
Sorry.
So it passes. It wasn't status quo.
Ian says Omar being bewildered that McDaniel might be back, but was questioning why fans wanted to tank after 2-6. This is why. We were scared that McDaniel might be back, and that's why we wanted to keep losing.
Yeah. Like the guy in the top left corner over here, or top right corner. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, I was like, what did that do?
Back then, you didn't understand why I said from the fan base.
I think as a chairman member of the Tank for Tua campaign in 2019 and take full ownership for it, I have learned.
Shame.
No, he still got a court day to go to.
it's a crime like that?
sometime in March, you got to come to court.
I have learned tanking is not the answer. Tanking is not going to fix anything. Mm-hmm. It's about creating the right kind of culture. And tanking, which is technically what the Dolphins are doing now, because they ain't talking about it, but I'm sorry. When I saw Cameron Good and Quentin Bell on the field together for multiple snaps, I knew what the bleep you were doing. Conversation over. And I don't have any respect for it. And I like both players, but I don't have any respect for it. Mm. If Bradley Chubb isn't on the injury report with something that might challenge him playing the final two games, or Chop Robinson, who you need to see start to set the edge, like, what are we doing? What are we really doing?
Mendoza.
And people, I saw Steve Ross laughing it up at 45, 44.
You saw that picture?
Not a great look.
No. The funny thing is, y'all saw the picture. I got the in feed. I got the in. I watch the in feed. Huh. And so they had that shot there for like 2 minutes. So I didn't just see one laughter.
Having a good old time.
He'll have a good old time. He went and got some ice cream.
Well, he's allowed to do that. And that's not.
Ice cream's for winners.
And that ice cream machine was put in there by Bill Barcells. You knew that, Alan. Listen.
He had sprinkles.
He wasn't bothered by none. And I understand where fans are a little bit upset, but you shouldn't be upset because y'all want them to tank anyway. Y'all want the Dolphins to tank. Y'all want the Dolphins to have a top 10 pick. Stop lying. Stop being mad, fake mad, that they're doing exactly what you want them to do. And that the owner don't care.
No, we mad they ain't do it sooner. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, they was playing for coaches' jobs.
Yeah, we know. We know. But we already knew what this was going to be.
You right. They could have performed differently in Pittsburgh and changed.
Never seen a team get to the same destination in so many different ways. They will be a different, and all of them have hope in it. Somewhere in the storyline, there is hope.
You got to inject it there.
Oh my God.
Every year, they are
amazing hope peddlers.
It's bad now, though, because now people are starting to. We knew how it's going. We're not even like it ain't even much resistance. Usually it's man, you gotta hope, man. We usually argue. Now people are starting to we know how this going. We already know. You done already dug the hole and you gave us just enough to say we'll have hope the rest of the way. No.
You know once March comes, you're gonna start injecting a little hopium in us. Just a little bit of hopium.
Hey, they gonna go trade for what's the pass rusher in Cleveland?
Miles Garrett.
They're going to go trade for Miles Garrett somehow with money. I don't know how, but they're going to do it.
They might trade. They inject. They get you right in the arm with that.
Shador? TD would do backflips. You want to see TD's reaction to us trading for Shador? Go watch his reaction to the Miami Miracle.
I believe.
Ian wants to know who I want as GM. I got a list. I don't even know, to be honest with you.
You say you got a list.
I got a list, but I gotta save for content, man. I gotta make videos in the off season. Garb got with the fiver says Reuben Baines Jr. Edge, and yes, I really think so. Fernando Mendoza might as well fall to Miami in round one, if not grab Francis Moaga.
Can somebody say they're obsessed with Miami players?
Maui go, yeah. That's you usually.
I take right. that though. He owns us.
Glenn's gonna piss off Omar.
Giving X his contract extension was first mistake.
What? What they do with anything? What they got to do with anything?
Why is the narrative only?
I would say caving the X when he shook you down twice. That was probably the first mistake. Yeah.
Numero Uno wants to know, why is the narrative only about the quarterbacks? It's because it's the most important position on the field.
We've also been talking about a lot of other different things, but if you don't have on the quarterback and you and then you double down by giving him a ridiculously large contract that carries a high cap number, yes, that becomes a big
Jimmy G, San Francisco 49ers. That's all you need to know. You could build a team as good as you want.
Alan, I'm not trying to use your Rain Man knowledge. I just genuinely want to know, what quarterback is yours start? Like, what after Marino? Is this 25?
I heard 27. 27? I did a count, and I think my count was 25. But I've heard people say 27. That is definitely an Alan question. I've been meaning to ask him that. But I don't know if
I think because it's ongoing is why it's not in there for him, because it's correct. It's like a Rolodex that keeps it adding to. Numero Uno also said Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Herbert, no rings.
Only one can win.
Only one person wins it at a time.
Greg with the fiver says, Doug said Weiss would be called up last game. Omar said no, but Doug is a closet Patriot fan. Consider he has Patriot items in the background.
I think I wrote that. I don't know if Taj. I was more focused on Taj Washington than
this is the amount of hate that I get, that people try to make something out of nothing. So I'm a Patriot closet fan because I have a Patriot items, as he said, in the background. I have one Patriot item, and it's toilet paper, so I can wipe my butt with it. So if you're really going to call me a Patriot fan because I have Patriot toilet paper, give me a break, Greg. Give me a break.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. that too. Yeah, that too.
Oh my goodness. Bob ahead. So there.
Trey says, hot take, if Herbert was on the Dolphin on the 2023 Dolphins, we win a playoff game. Yes.
No.
If he was healthy.
Yes.
I say yes.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Man, stop, Omar.
Never know.
What pass rushers?
We'd have won 15 games. It don't matter. We'd have put up 40 a game.
Wait, what pass rushers? What running back?
Maybe they'd be Buffalo in the Sunday night game.
What do you mean we're running back? Mostert?
Okay. Now, he would have won one of those games during the season that would have allowed them to get to Kansas City.
They would have played at home. They would have won.
They had a home game.
Yeah.
All right, whatever.
All
right, I'm not gonna play this hypothetical. If the defense ain't fold in Tennessee, they would have had a home game.
They had the ball twice at the end on offense, and they gagged both times. Come on, seriously,
this was we're going down a slippery slope, and I gotta go feed this baby. Ian with the fiver said, Omar, you see what Drake May did to your beloved Ravens in primetime at Baltimore. They still in play for the number one seed, and we're out in our 20th rebuild.
Don't play yourself.
Listen.
How good is the Ravens defense?
Listen.
Come on.
How good is Drake May?
When Drake May wins MVP, I will finally chicken tell y'all he's good.
He in second place right now.
I know he's probably going to win it.
Who was in third place in 2023?
I mean. Yeah, okay. Only reason I haven't told y'all he's good is because y'all just every week, so everybody's adamant. You gonna say he's good. You gonna say he's
good. He in our division. We got to deal with that. Go ahead.
Garb Gump says, as a former quarterback, the way Ewers flicks his wrist without fully using his lower body is super interesting. I might wind up being a unique asset. Yeah.
It's cool.
That play when he was on the right hash mark and he threw it to Waddle on the left sideline, he threw it as if he was throwing a check down. Like, he flicked his wrist and like barely any effort, just whoop, and that sucker went. Mm-hmm. I was very intrigued, and I was like, I haven't seen that in a hot minute. I was like, golly. Nick, appreciate the Euros, bud. Glenn says, the team failed at everything. Miami had more rebuilds than playoff wins. Yeah.
Wow.
sidekick. Why isn't anyone suggesting McDaniel stay, but as the OC? Is that not a possibility? Love to show you guys are all great. Merry Christmas. It's like being an owner of a business and then being demoted to store manager.
It's not even about that.
No one's going to take
that. It's not even about that. Mike is going to get his checks from Steve Ross for the next 2 or 3 years, and he doesn't have to work to get those checks. If he takes a job, he will be working for free because there will be offset language in the contract. There is offset language, which means if he makes $1.2 million as the offensive coordinator, Dolphins get to pay him $1.2 million less. So, Mike, there is no benefit for Mike to work. Mike should go do TV and learn to be more concise with his communication.
Number one Heat fan said all these excuses for Herbert were gone last year. Still the same result because Herbert is not a clutch playoff quarterback. Regular season, okay, but playoffs, no.
Trying to find out this year.
At least he gets there.
2 weeks before the season. Man,
and you know what's funny? Last year I said this is the game Herbert wins. I was like, this is what him winning the playoff game. And threw interceptions. Flamingo Boot with the tenor says, Omar, the WQAM comment section on YouTube is trashing you big time lately.
What else is new?
Yeah, it's like
I get trashed in this comment section all the time. You just gotta sit back and laugh at it. Birthday Salami says Omar being a tough grader on a seventh round quarterback after years of parading he who must not be named and teasing that he has it. Quinn showed more poise than $54 million.
Evidence to court.
When Quinn Ewers delivers 100 passer rating, we could talk.
Moving on. We're moving on.
Passer rating in Pittsburgh.
Javel with the tenor said, fellas, everyone is calling out the third quarter failure. Reason one, he needs fired, but I don't see anyone talking about why Achane was in the game with 6 minutes to play in a blowout. Chubb repeat?
Because Achane wants to rack up the stats. If
you want to get 1,500, I think.
Now he's a Pro Bowler. Achane going to be like, yeah, I got 15 carries and sit me down.
I think he wanted the 1,500.
Yeah, he may have a target in mind. Yep.
Yeah. He does have a target in mind.
To get 1,500.
You're not getting 1,500. Sorry. You're not getting 1,500.
Maybe.
No,
you're not getting Panama Jack, been a member for 2 months. Appreciate you, bud. Zach is best athlete. He had a 50-yard run versus the Jets.
Yep.
Can you hear my daughter talking
to me? Yeah, we don't care. neither the viewers.
She's trying to give me Pez, and she's like, if you don't want it, just tell me. Omar.
Huh? We'll say that when Mila's talking.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody loves kids.
Birthday Salami says, McDaniel has proven through his tenure that he can't make in-game adjustments when the game plan ain't working / gets taken away. Can design cool plays, but can't strategize or adjust in real time.
Firmly disagree. They make adjustments based on what defenses and coverages do and how teams are playing them. They make them all the time. However, I will acknowledge that the halftime coming out of half, and it's not offense. It's not just offense. Defense does it too.
Yep.
Something is there. And the players in the locker room were upset, and they were voluntarily talking about the fact that something is there, something is wrong with this, and we have to figure it out. I never put it up because guys who say things really controversial, I don't need the extra stuff from Twitter. Tyrell Dotson was basically like, yeah, it crap been an issue all season, and we still haven't figured out anything in 14 weeks. And I was like, oh.
Dolphin Zay says the Tua doubter supporting Ewers makes no sense. His skill set is the same as Tua. Ewers' ceiling is consistent version of one. Maybe that's not enough. I just want to point out the inconsistency. A true upgrade isn't on the roster.
I disagree. Ewers can throw outside the numbers. Yours has a little better mobility.
Agree.
So
now.
But I've always said that.
Ceiling is. I don't think he's got a massive ceiling personally. But
he doesn't have a massive ceiling.
Garbgump said, by the way, if Caleb Downs, the safety out of Ohio State, is by some miracle within reach, then obviously that's obviously the pick. Not loving Kel.
I think it's not likely.
Oh, but a name to remember. Merry Christmas, fellow. Merry Christmas, Garbgump. We appreciate you.
Merry Christmas, Brett.
NFL refs said you should get VBS on the show to debate Tua. I'm all right. We're not debating Tua.
Yeah, we're not debating.
Numero uno said, tired of the narrative being the quarterback only. Yours was okay, but McDaniel's still the problem. Rookie quarterback, keep running the ball. He also threw another tenor at us. We greatly appreciate you, Numero Uno. The only reason McDaniel went to the six linemen and the jumbo package is because week eight, all tight ends were hurt. Where has that been for 4.5?
Kind of dictates what you're going to do.
I basically begged for it in last year when they couldn't run the ball, and they just basically was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, literally begged for it. And they were like, eh, we'll just rather throw it.
Numero uno with another tenor. He says, this is a total team and great coaching. Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Herbert, no rings, not an elite quarterback only.
Not about an elite quarterback only.
But it helps. Elite quarterback got to get you to the divisional round.
You need go back to that for a second. You need that quarterback. But look at Jackson and how he – that's this is why I've always been very weary of the athletic quarterbacks, because when they lose that athleticism, they got to change. They got to evolve.
He did evolve, but problem is – this problem is now he's always hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the body wears down. Look at all those quarterbacks. Their body wears down.
Now, the optimal quarterback is the Justin Herbert's Josh Allen build.
Drake May.
Drake May, they have they check every box.
Yeah.
Every single box.
Yeah.
Dolphin says.
And they still going to wear down too, eventually.
Josh Allen, boy. 2009, Finns have been at 6-11 losses a year.
Yep.
Does Mendoza, 6'5", big arm, and can run fit the mold?
Don't know he has a big arm. He's got a good enough arm, but I don't know if he's got a big arm.
I don't know if he can run.
Boo family with a big old purple donation said, happy holidays, best show ever. My theory is that this fan base split soon after the Flores firing. Many liked Flores and blamed Tua for the firing. I think that was the true start of the fan base splitting up, not necessarily when Tua was drafted. I could see that. That's a good assessment. I could see that.
Hold on, but was the fan base really together before Flores?
No, because it was
Tannehill.
It had nothing. I don't think it had anything to do with
Flores. The fan base was split on
Ryan Tannehill. Like,
no, but this got really Civil War-ish when they drafted.
It got nasty. It got real nasty.
It was after about 3 years of fighting in a war. It was all right. Well, let's see. Let's let time tell. Let's all go to our corner and just throw drabs over the wall. So it got bad. But there was a side that didn't win, though. I'm here to report. The non-draft Tua side actually was right. I'm just saying.
David Joseph said, if I can predict McDaniel's play calls from the couch, that's a problem. Tua's been a disappointment. How much of that is on McDaniel? It's on Tua.
Y'all cannot predict McDaniel's play calls, and you know why? I watch practice. I've watched training camp. I know, and I can see when plays are going to come. I've watched the sequence. I know the red zone plays, and I can tell you they're plays that play sets up another play. So y'all don't do that.
There's a play that I call on my live stream game every time.
What is it?
They get by around the 7-yard line. And I say, HN's going to go out of the flat, act like he's going out and cut back in. Like clockwork, he run it. another one at the 41, 42. Yeah, you know,
that's one route.
Or whoever.
That's one route. What are the other receivers
doing? No, I'm just saying there's a lot of plays that film can tell you exactly what's about to happen.
Of course.
That's every team, though.
That's and every team. You think Jamar Chase runs different routes from the 7-yard line?
No. Some people, the nuances within the formations and everything.
Yeah,
I think we are a limited offense because of the capabilities of some of the personnel.
Mike is not going here. He's got to take care of the baby.
Yeah, we are way over. Adolfo says we have an owner that's accepting mediocrity. Until that change, we will never be good and accept team stats as form to measure success and not winning. If Mike and yours end up being Kyle and Purdy, are we happy?
Yes. Yes. Dude, Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, look at the success they always have. You got to give them that kind of defense, though.
Ian asks, Philip Rivers for quarterback next year. Who says no? I say no.
I say yes.
What did you just say?
Philip Rivers quarterback next year.
You guys, y'all act like y'all got a better option.
I mean, you're right. We can get that one. Yeah. One overall pick.
Huh?
What Ian says, why doesn't Josh Allen's body wear down? I'm sick of how good he is. He's dealing with something right now.
He's huge.
Yeah, he's also a huge human being. And then numero uno says, would love to see if Weaver can continue to build a great defense given the tools.
Continue? When did he start?
I like Weaver. I miss Vic.
Oh, man. We're going to get out of here. We will see you Friday, 6 o'clock after Christmas, right? Yeah, the day after Christmas. Previewing the Tampa Bay game. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald. Alan Pupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. TD Finstalk, YouTube.com/TD Finstalk. And myself, YouTube.com/DouglyDurong. See you later, everybody.
Happy holiday.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
And Merry Christmas.